All right. Hey, now we're going to start getting into a little bit more into the series. As I mentioned before, some of my paramedic to RN friends, we were talking about how we didn't have a really good accurate view of nursing before we became nurses. And we all kind of moved around into different units before we found our fit. Some of us still haven't found it. But for me, I was kind of in that boat, and I moved around from a lot of places, from ED step down, critical care, surgical services, endoscopy, care coordination, and case management. So I just wanted to kind of give you my experience and my insight on these different units. So then that way, when you're making your choice early before you even get into nursing, you can kind of get a good idea of where you may find your fit. So welcome to my podcast. So finding your fit, I think, is probably, as I was going through these different eras of nursing, I think that's probably what the theme is, because not everything fits everyone. Like, for example, step down didn't fit me, and I'll be honest with you. And it wasn't because I just didn't think I was too good for step down. It was just that from what I know and what my mission is, I just didn't feel like it was a good direction for me to head. I felt like I was wasting time. So I wanted to kind of talk to you today about the intensive care unit. Then we call it the ICU. And for paramedics, some paramedics enjoy the ICU. Some didn't like the ICU. Some would rather prefer the ED over the ICU. But now I have found a trend that usually my friends that come from critical care transport, they pretty much like the ICU environment because that's where they came from, usually the critical care medics. And unless you have that background, the ICU could be a really steep learning curve, I'll be honest with you. I know it was for me. So what I would like to do is kind of and share with you what the ICU entails. ICU is usually broken down into different units. You have different varieties of ICUs. It's really based on a medical issue they have at the time. You have the medical ICU, which we call the MICU, the surgical and trauma ICU, sometimes it's referred to as the SICU. You have your cardiac ICU, which is the CICU, and you have the cardiothoracic ICU, which is the CTICU, and you even have the NICU for the neonates. But my experience is from the CICU and the CTICU. And the workflow was exactly the opposite of the EDs, which were they were less patients, but they was way more involved. Usually your ratio is 1-2 or 1-1, especially like if you have an ECMO patient. Usually your workflow is you have shift responsibilities and you have certain things that's required per hour. For example, it requires a lot of charting, especially on devices. So some of the shift responsibilities, you know, you may have to save the EKG strip to the patient's chart. You may have to ambulate your patient 3 times a day. You may need to get a flat CVP at 4 o'clock a.m. and 4 o'clock p.m. And also, you know, respiratory may come 2 times a day for oral care and suctioning, but anything outside of that, then you have to chart that. You have to do and chart it. So every hour, usually you want to get vitals. You want to get even to include your central venous pressure, which calls your CVP or the numbers to come off your SWAN or pulmonary artery cath. You want to get your INOs, like your chest tube drainage. If it drains over like 100 mils an hour, you may need to let the intensivist know. Also, devices like CRRT, which is continuous renal replacement therapy, it's like a dialysis, but it's for dialysis for patients that are too sick to sit up in a chair. It's continuous. It's really slow. So instead of hemodialysis, being able to take your blood and and filter it through, the CRT is much slower and it's continuous. Your VAD patients, you want to make sure with your patients with your ventricular assist devices, you want to chart those numbers, and also all your ECMO numbers every hour. Also, you know, every other hour, if you might want to record your RAS if they're sedated. But also, remember, you have your assessments at 8, 12, and 4, and every 4 hours, you want to chart your SVR, which is systemic vascular resistance. And also your IV assessments, which is you want to do your ART lines and central lines, as well as your peripheral IVs. You also have, you know, electrolyte replacement goals. So that's typically how your workflow can be. It's really busy. But most of the time, like I said, you're doing a lot of charting. And it's totally opposite, whether in the ED you was running around doing a lot of tasks, flipping patient to patient. This one, you have this patient and you're strictly monitoring this patient for different things that can happen that can make the patient get worse. If the patient gets worse, then either you have a protocol on what you need to do or you need to notify the intensivist. So the environment, I found the environment really quiet, high stress, but a little sad. You know, I've had patients, like I had a patient that had a bowel necrosis, and, you know, she was alert and oriented, and just knowing that she would die within the next 4 days because it was inoperable. The surgeons decided not to. And, you know, just talking to the husband to try to do all they could do, you know, and the daughter, it was just really taxing. And sometimes that stress, it just kind of wears on you. And sometimes you take it home. In the ED was different because I moved around so much. It was so fast paced. I was exhausted. But with the ICU, I just found like you can kind of sit and you can kind of soak into it. And it kind of sticks with you. My hours, you know, it's the same. It's 3 12s and also being on call. But I do think that for a paramedic, there's some really good advantages to going into the ICU. And one is you're going to learn a lot. That's a good positive. Medical, especially when it comes to devices and medical terminology, because you get really deep into that intensive care. Whereas before, you know, usually in paramedic, you know, you hear on cardiac preload and afterload. But when you start getting into things to understand what afterload really means and systemic vascular resistance and get into your numbers and your wedge pressures and your central venous pressures and preload and what medications affect what and titrating your different pressures and knowing what pressures to run and which pressures affect different things and what medical effects the arterial and the venous system, it can get a little overwhelming. But as you stick with it, it starts to sink in. You start to understand more. So keep in mind, it's a steep learning curve. And your paramedic knowledge helps, especially if you come from a critical care paramedic background. Then it's going to be a regurgitate of things you already know, but just more on a deeper level. But your assessment is golden as a paramedic because you know when your patient is declining. And to me, I felt like there's a little bit more autonomy in the ICU than it is in ED, because you typically have a protocol that you can work from before you contact the intensivist. Also, the experience, if you want to become a flight nurse or critical care transport nurse, or even if you want to go to CRNA school, you know, usually ICU is a requirement, especially for CRNA. You know, they want you to have at least 1 year in the ICU, because as a CRNA, if you're managing patients in the ED, I'm sorry, in the ICU, if you're managing patients in the operating room, then you have to be able to read numbers and you have to have a good solid critical care background. So that's some of the positives. I think some of the negatives is you have to learn a lot in a very short time, especially with devices and terminology being in the ICU. And it really depends on which one. For example, being in the MICU, you may have a different style patients. Maybe your patient may be septic, or versus you know, in the cardiothoracic ICU, your patient have a swollen Gans cath, and you have to be able to understand PA numbers and be able to read those numbers off that cath. Or you may have an ECMO patient versus a patient that may be in the NICU specialized dealing with neonates. So wherever you go, the learning curve can be quite steep. And also, you know, when you're managing these patients have multiple titratable drips. Your head has to be in the game. You know, you can't be sitting at the desk if you don't have nothing to do and be on your phone. You really have to keep an eye on these patients because they can start crashing in a heartbeat. And in the critical care arena, something just as simple as not keeping your patient warm can have a detrimental effect on your patient outcome. So, or just because you let the patient potassium because you wasn't paying attention to your electrolyte replacement goals and that potassium dipped down and you wasn't paying attention, looking at labs, then that can have a really bad effect on your patient. Hypokalemia is not good for your patients. So hopefully that can give you a little bit more in-depth on, especially being in the ICU, and give you a little bit more insight, because maybe some of you guys may say, hey, I want to go to the ICU, but not know what that entails. So hopefully I kind of gave you a little bit more in-depth information. So thank you guys for joining me, and I'll see you guys next week. Take care. As always, hey, make sure you guys follow me on Instagram at paramedic2rninfo. Remember the number 2.